Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at the summary of all that we know based upon this great epistle of 1 John. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 again together. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, we're right in the middle of studying how that in these three verses, the Apostle John is giving us a summary of all that he has taught throughout this great epistle. And he begins each of these three verses with the phrase, "We know." In these three verses, John wants us to know three things. Number one, that the person who has genuinely been born of God does not dwell continually in sin. Number two, that those who are saved are truly born of God. And number three, that the Son of God has come and has given us the knowledge of the one true living God. And on the last broadcast, we were looking at this second truth that John says we should know, and I want to continue that today. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 again together. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now we're right in the middle of looking at what John meant when he said in this verse that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So we're examining what is probably the most common and yet the most unknown sin that exists in our lives today, and that is the sin of worldliness. Worldliness is when the love and affection and devotion of our hearts that should only belong to God is stolen from God and placed on something that is temporary and that is passing away. Worldliness is more common today than it has ever been. It is more easily engaged in by believers due to the fact that there is such bad teaching out there in many areas. The sin of worldliness is actually being promoted as being a virtue, even a blessing from God, even the height of spirituality. But please listen to what God said about this evil sin by reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, there are several signs that warn us that we have crossed the line into worldliness. Some of those signs include always being too busy to study the Bible or to pray for any meaningful length of time, loving money, engaging in covetousness, and believing that more of this world's goods is always a sign of God's favor without a corresponding growth in holiness. We can measure the degree to which worldliness has overtaken us by honestly examining what we love and what we spend time with, because the Bible teaches from cover to cover that the human soul cannot love God and the world at the same time. It will always choose one over the other because God consciously made the human soul to exclusively love, worship, and serve only one object at a time. And any attempt by anyone at loving two things or worshiping two things or serving two things at the same time will always result in a schizophrenic life, a diseased life, a fruitless life, a wasted life. So we must choose, we must decide, we must consciously abandon one love for the other. Either you must abandon the world and love God, or you must abandon God and love the world. But please understand that you cannot love both. Billy Sunday, the 19th century evangelist, once said, quote, "You might as well talk about a heavenly devil as talk about a worldly Christian," unquote. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 97:10, "Hate evil, you who love the Lord." Now, the good news in all of this is that if you are a Christian, then you truly do love God, and I praise God for that. Have you considered what it means in your life that you have come to know the one true living God? That you have come to know His forgiveness for all of your sins? That you have come to experience something of the Father's love for you? I encourage you to drink in what we have to offer here in this church. Everything that we do here is specifically designed so that the love of the Father will increase in your life, while at the same time, the love of the world will decrease. Get involved in one or more of the many Bible studies that we offer here. Come and pray with us on Wednesday nights. Engage yourself in the Bible reading plan. Go out during the week and sow the seeds of the gospel into the hearts of others. Help us reach the local high schools, the jails, the nursing homes this year. Go with us to the hospitals. Pray for the sick. Help us to grow in grace as we endeavor to hate sin and love the Father and not love the world. Now, as you read what John wrote here, don't make the mistake of thinking that John is calling all of us to be monks in a monastery, because he's not. The world that we are not supposed to love here is the system of those creatures, men and demons, who oppose God. It is not the material creation itself. The trees, the ground, the mountains, the rivers, the waterfalls, that world, the world that God made, is very good. But to love the other world, the world system that operates in opposition to God, brings us into submission to the lusts of that world, which always leads us into sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that we are supposed to use the world, just don't be captured by it. And if we do that, then we can learn the secret of true contentment that Paul said that he had in every situation. Jesus prayed over in John 17 that although we are in the world, that we would not be taken captive by it, that we are not to be in bondage to it, that as Christians we are not to be known for our selfishness nor our indifference, but by active use of this world for God's glory alone. My dear friends, we are to love God first and foremost, and to reflect that in our daily lives, in what we agree to do, in what we shun, in what we applaud, what we support, in how we speak, how we conduct our finances, how we raise our children, in all of life. Even in our covenanting to disciplining ourselves in matters of unrepentant sin, whether that unrepentant sin is the worldliness of non-attendance or of lying, or of adultery. So let us all resign ourselves to this fact. Love for, ultimate regard for God, will not coexist with love for the world that is opposed to God. Surely we can see that our fleshly cravings, the carnal desires that fill our eyes to covet, and the desire to brag about what we possess, that all of these things are of the world that opposes and which fights against God. And the Bible says that none of these things are of the Father. But inexplicably, in direct violation of what John teaches here, we live in a day when, instead of covetousness being called the wicked sin that it is actually being promoted by many famous ministries as actually being spiritual, as being desired, as being of the Father, something that we as Christians should aspire to. But we must remember, beloved, that Scripture is crystal clear about this. And no matter how you might want to dress it up to make it look good, no matter how many ministries embrace it, no matter how many teachers promote it, covetousness in any shape or form is an evil sin. We must know that we are not the only generation who has wrestled with the sin of worldliness. The Christians of the first century faced many of the same temptations that we do in the 21st century. Their society was not impoverished Rome was flush with prosperity, more so than any other empire on earth at that time. Many thought that because they were Christians, they could live any way they wanted to, and that was not true then, and it's not true today either. When you ponder your loves, you may notice that love is never neutral. Even the most harmless, petty love, if left unhindered and supreme and unsubmitted to God, will ruin you. So be careful. Exercise your Christian liberty, absolutely. But be aware that not all love comes from God. Beloved, we must know that it is a false religion that idolizes the world and the things that are in the world and not biblical Christianity. And we must also know that this false religion is in direct competition with God for your love, your affections, your devotion, your obedience, and your service. So where in the world do all these misguided loves come from? Well, they originate from an unbiblical and strange and yes, sinful urge to glorify self in direct competition to glorifying God. They are simply the desires of our flesh, our sinful nature, which constantly rebels against God's authority and which leads us all to condemnation. This innate desire for lost man to glorify himself is what theologians call total depravity or radical ruination. The biblical doctrine that says that does not say that all of us are as bad as we could be, but that every area of our existence has been radically and negatively ruined by the fall. And all have been touched by this wrong dissatisfaction with God and a hostile and open rebellion against him. These examples that John brings out here are what the Christian church used to call worldliness. But over the last 150 years or so, that word, that term, that concept has ceased to be spoken much in the church. Whatever happened to it? Whatever happened to worldliness? Sadly, in many, many modern churches, the people of God had never even heard worldliness mentioned a single time. They have no idea what it even means. If you don't think that's true, go find a young Christian who is 25 years old or younger and ask him what worldliness means. See if they tell you something positive or negative. Worldliness is taking an inferior object and treating it as your final, ultimate end. Whether those are the pleasures of your flesh, or riches, or pride, or arrogance, or the glory of human achievement, worldliness is the attraction that we have to these things, and to have your heart bound up with them. So as we honestly approach what John is teaching here, we have to ask ourselves the obvious question. Am I worldly? And I beg you to be real about your questions and your answers. What do you do with your very best time? What do you do with your very best thinking? What brings you the most satisfaction? Or you could turn the question around and get the same answers. What troubles you the most? What causes you the most worry and anxiety? What's your greatest fear? Is your greatest fear, is what brings you the most anxiety, that the name of Christ be lifted up in every circumstance? Is that what keeps you up at night? Does that cause you to pace the floor and wring your hands? Are you truthfully more concerned about Jesus being glorified in whatever situation the sovereign God has allowed you to be in, or is it that you achieve your own safety and comfort? Whatever happened to worldliness? Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.